line is muted. Only the host can unmute your line. Raise your hand using star two so the host knows when you want to speak.
Evening. I will unmute your mic now, Mark. Hold on one second, please. Okay, how are you doing, Mark?
Very good, very good.
Okay. I got a little bit delayed tonight, but everything's fine. We're going to be talking about end time events, not end time prophecy, but end time events tonight.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you several scriptures to look up. And before we do, Mark is going to read some scriptures for us, and then we're going to sing one song. We've already started, but before you do that, Mark, let me go on and get Facebook Live up. I'm not going to put up YouTube. I'm not going to put up YouTube tonight because I find that it slows it way down. I tried to do it earlier today on a broadcast, and it really caused some problems with the video. So. Not that many people watch on YouTube anyway, so I'm gonna just put it on Facebook Live. That's where most of our people come anyways.
Okay.
So hold on just a second and I'll get that up.
Okay. How did the conference call go last night?
It went okay. We missed you.
I lost track of the time. Sorry about that. Was Kevin there?
I understand. Yeah, Kevin was there, and John tried to get in, but for some... Hold on just a second.
Sure.
Okay, welcome to Facebook Live. You joined us for our evening worship service at Pineville House Church. We have a special guest tonight. Mark Kennedy is going to help me out. And Mark is going to read some scripture for us here. Go ahead, Mark.
Matthew 27:50-56.
A little bit louder, please.
Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose. And came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went to the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And many women were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Joses, and the mother of 70 children.
All right. Thank you, Mark, for reading that for us.
Sure.
Kevin is with us tonight on Facebook. Kevin, if you want to call in and join us, feel free to do so. You want to call in on TalkShoe on your try to get in on your video and see if it works. I sent you a link, and also I want to welcome Michael Bruman, Laura Peakey, Mukesh Barty, and Mukesh, I've been getting all your emails. I just want you to know I'm not, even though you may think I'm avoiding you, brother, it's called input overload. Maybe we can schedule a call this next week on the phone or something. I also want to invite or welcome all the other people that have joined us on TalkShoe. And also I want to welcome aboard all the people that have joined us on Facebook as well. Welcome aboard John from Toronto on TalkShoe. And I will watch to see, Kevin, if you come in. Just feel free to come in on the, if you can, get in on TalkShoe. I've had some glitches on that. Now, we're going to sing a song, one song before we go over to the other part of the broadcast. And tonight, our topic is going to be end time events. Now, we're not into futurism. We're not into end time prophecies. but just so you know. But we do believe the Bible. And we do believe that it points to certain things that Christ has revealed that are going to happen just before he comes back. And no, we're not date setters. We're not hero campings, okay? but we do believe that ever since Christ ascended back to heaven, we are in fact living in the last days. The number we're going to sing, I'm going to turn the camera around and put it back on Facebook here. Hold on one second. We're going to sing We Gather Together. Now, a lot of times we sing this song around Thanksgiving time. And I want to point out, this is a very well-known song. But I want to point out that it's not often the way we sing it. The old school hymnal, I'm going to read the difference for you. Most people totally skip the verse that we sing all the verses. It says here, he says, which I'm not so sure I agree with this. I'm a little surprised because this was a Dutch hymn. And it says, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be, let thy congregation escape tribulation. Okay. Thy name ever praise, O Lord, make us free. Well, we don't want to go through tribulation, but I believe that scripture is clear that we are going to go through tribulation if we're living in the very last of the last days. So I wanted to point that out. Mark, you want to start that?
We gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. He chastens and hastens his will to maintain. The wicked oppressing now cease from distressing. Sing praises to his name. He forgets not his own. Beside us to guide us, our God with us joining. Ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning. Thou, Lord, was at our sides, all glory be thine. We all do extol thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation. My name be ever praised, O Lord, make us free.
Well, Mark, do we have time to sing one psalm? Mark, are you with us?
Yeah.
Do we have time to... Yeah, Mark Kennedy. Do we have time to sing one psalm?
I guess so. It's only 6:04. I got Western time here.
Well, Rosette likes to sing the psalm, and so... we're going to sing one psalm, page 12, and that's 12A, that's Psalm 12, taken out of Psalm 12.
Oh, okay.
Oh, Lord, grant us help. He does the godly cease, and from thus
garland will fail our lips. Our hours you mourn over us, because the poor are sorely pressed, because the needy sighs, to give the safety they desire. The Lord says, I'll arise. The Lord's words are for a soldier. They are like silver tried in earth and furnace seven times, red as been purified. Lord, thou shalt them preserve and keep forever from this race. On every side the wicked walk, reviled in high in place.
Well, tonight we're going to be talking about end events or end time events. And Kevin, I see you're with us. I'm going to unmute your mic here.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Larry. I got it.
Okay, good deal. Well, glad to have you with us tonight. And I've asked Mark to help read some scripture, and Kevin also. Feel free to jump in any time you have any comments. And I want to let everybody know that Brother Kevin has a program on Sunday afternoons. What is the central time on that when you started that? I was with Kevin today, but I forgot what it was about.
Yeah, I'll have to look at that. I think it's probably 1:30, somewhere in that area.
Is it 3:30 your time? Yeah, so it would be 1:30 central time.
Well, no, it would be 1:30 my time.
1:30 your time, 3:30 my time. Okay.
Yeah. Now, they don't have to hear it live. You know, they can pick it up anytime.
Right. But a lot of people want to see your smiling face, you know.
Oh, my. Okay. Yeah.
But anyway, I did put the broadcast, your broadcast that you did today, it's also on my Facebook Live as well, Kevin.
Cool. Oh, thank you, Larry. And, you know, YouTube worked as you told me how to do it. Now I'm looking to find a way to edit because there's a lot of downtime on it that I want to cut out, if that's possible. But
yeah,
I'll work on it. Yeah.
You can edit that. There's an edit button, and you can also actually put a lot of things as far as your outlines. I don't get into a lot of that, but you do have that ability. So,
I saw that. Yeah.
And John, I want to apologize to John last night. I don't know what happened. Kevin and I were on the video. John tried to join us from Toronto he did join us from Toronto last night. And for some reason he didn't come in. We were both there. We were having problems ourselves, John, making the link. So I'm not so sure I'm going to even keep Google Hangouts because it costs $120 a year, and if it's not going to work, I don't want to just throw money out the window. So anyway, tonight what I'd like to do is I'd like for Mark, if he would, if he's kind enough, to... Now, this is a very, very well-known passage of Scripture. I like, there are parallel passages also in the other Gospels, but in the 24th chapter of Matthew, I think Matthew makes it really, really clear in terms of what Christ said. And I don't want to get into any disputation over eschatology tonight. I just want to talk about what Christ said was going to happen, what events were going to happen coming up to the time of his coming back. Now, one of the things that I will say is that the whole part of this discussion Why did it even come up? It came up because of a request of the disciples. It came up. Christ dealt with this issue because the disciples came to him. Notice in verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately. I found that often very interesting. They came unto him privately. They didn't come in to him out in an open forum. They came in privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So it's a threefold question. The first thing is, when shall these things be? The second part is, what shall the sign be? And the third, the sign is like the end of the world. Okay, so in other words, they wanted to know what to look for. And of course, they were preaching the imminent return of Christ after the ascension of Christ. They were teaching and preaching the imminent return of Christ. I believe that we are to be teaching and preaching the imminent return of Christ. I want to also welcome aboard guest 6 and guest the other guests that we have on TalkShoe, and then we have a number, Matush Barty, Mike Brawson, Laura Kiki, and the guest on with us on TalkShoe. And I won't keep interrupting, but I like our guests to know that we're there. We know that you're there, so that's why I do that. Now, Mark, I'd like for you, if you would, just to read through. I know we've done this before, but read starting with verse 4, and if you would read down through verse 12, and then we'll stop and make comments about verse 4 through 12. And Kevin can feel free to give us his thoughts on that as well. But go ahead, Mark.
Okay, that's Matthew chapter 24, right?
Matthew 24, verse 4 through 12.
4 to 12 of Matthew 24. Okay, verse, very good. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. Verse 6, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. That's verse 6. Verse 7, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8, all these are the beginnings of sorrows. Verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold.
Well, you know, there's a lot in that, because he not only deals with actual events, but he actually deals with the spiritual condition leading up to his coming, the spiritual condition that's going to be prevalent. Notice
right.
He says, notice that the first thing he points out is that there's going to be a lot of deception going on. That's why he says, take heed that no man deceive you. A lot of deception going on. Now,
right.
I know that there was a lot of deception going on during the ministry of the apostles, because Paul pointed out all of these false teachers and so on. In Galatians, he talked about the Judaizers and so on. Do we still have the Judaizers with us today? Yes, we do. That's my thought on that. And then he says, many, not a few,
Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. A lot of people take that and say, well, I haven't seen that many people around saying that they're the Christ. But what he's talking about here, the way I interpret this, is that there are many that are going to come in his name saying that they are conveying what Christ taught, and they're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No, that's good.
If I got up in a pulpit in some mega church and I started saying, hey, I'm here and I'm going to give you a message on the teachings of Christ, I'm a follower of Christ, and I began to talk about something that was totally in opposition to what Christ taught, then I am a false Christ. Okay? Yeah. I'm a false Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's. I'm going to go on to the next one, and then I'm going to stop and let Mark and Kevin give their kind of renditions of these first three verses. Then he says, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come, but the end is not yet. Now, we know that from the time of the ascension of Christ to this point, we have seen many, not World War One and World War Two, we have seen the Korean War, we've seen all the wars in history, we've seen kingdoms fall, kingdoms rise, and we've probably heard many.
Oh, okay. Thanks so much.
Rumors is there are wars. Okay, we many rumors as there are wars. And then the end is not yet. We're getting to the background from somebody. I don't know who it is.
But he's making up noise and I can't hear.
Yeah, somebody's getting a lot of background noise. I don't know where it's coming from. But anyway, why don't we start with Kevin? Kevin, why don't you give us your thoughts on those three verses?
Well, I think it's interesting that Jesus didn't say that there's not going to be an end of the world. I thought that was pretty good. I think what it is the increase of those things. In other words, we'll just see a steady incline toward the upheaval in the world. And the church will be suffering as well, because there'll be such, as Jesus said, many false prophets and many false teachers have gone out into the land. So we should at this point be able to identify the false teachers and speak clearly of them when we're talking with people about the Bible. Because that's something that's not being done today. They don't name names, you know.
They want to
be politically correct. That's something a true prophet of God is never concerned about what's going to happen to him if he speaks the truth. So.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah. In verse 9, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And this is what happens when you have the true gospel. It's so rare that those who have a profession of Christianity, but it's not true, they just don't argue with us about what we believe. They actually hate the truth that we speak.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark, what are your thoughts on those, verses 5 through 7?
Okay, first of all, I want to bring out something here. I respectfully disagree with something that Brother Kevin just said, that Jesus said that the end of the world would not come. That's not what I see here in verse 6. He said, but the end is not yet. That means that the end is still coming, but it's not going to get here anytime soon. So I respectfully disagree with that. Anyway, but yes, all of these things are happening in the world today. There's deception going on in the world today. There's rumors of wars and conflicts of various nations floating through the airwaves of the media and the rumor mills, all of this stuff, yes, it's all going on today, has been for a long time, and it's going to continue until the very last day.
Yeah,
because Jesus said that all flesh would perish unless these days are not shortened. But for the elect's sake, these days will be shortened. So it's,
right,
it's going to get really bad. Get really bad.
Yeah, I would say, too, that the interesting thing is in verse 8, says all these are the beginning of sorrows. And, you know, so many times people talk about over the years, there's been a number of people that have set dates. Mary Ellen White, you know, Christian Scientists, Jehovah's Witnesses, different ones have set dates. Harold Campion. Harold Campion, I'm sorry. All these things, he says, just the beginning, just the beginning of sorrows. And then, like Brother Kevin said, they'll deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, not that they might kill you. In other words, if you're living during that time, you're going to, many will be killed. And I was thinking, you know, I have seen, and it's easy for us to look around us today and attribute all of these things that Christ talked about that seem to be happening in our lifetime, you know?
That's right,
Really, really easy to do that. A lot of people, you know, will you know, lay allegations that, well, Larry's a newspaper eschatologist. All I'm doing is reading scripture and saying, like for an example, when it says, iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I have seen iniquity abounding, all around me. And I'm in shock. Because I've never seen this level of depravity demonstrated out in the open media, in the open forum. So it's a shock. It just kind of blows me away because I look at this, and he talks about many false prophets arising and shall deceive many. One of the things that we know is that all of God's elect are going to endure to the end. In fact, he says, it shall endure unto the end, the faint shall be saved. In other words, you can't separate out the preservation and the perseverance of God's saints. It's one of the same.
Right.
So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and read for us verses 14 down through 18, and we'll talk about those verses a little bit.
Okay, Matthew 24, right?
Yes.
14 to 18, okay. Okay, so I'll back up one verse to 13. So verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Verse 14 of Matthew 24, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Verse 16, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Verse 17, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes.
While you're right there, Mark, why don't you make comments, since you just read that, why don't you make comments on those four verses as to how you see those, and then Kevin, feel free to jump in.
Okay, let's see. Verse 15, when you'll see the abomination of desolation referred to by Daniel standing in the holy place. And now, I could be wrong, but I believe, isn't that when the Antichrist declares himself to be God? I could be wrong on that.
That's the way a lot of people interpret it. I've heard several different interpretations of that. Kevin, what's your take on that?
Well, because it says somewhere in this passage that we have yet to read, is be careful that your departure isn't on the Sabbath day. That's on the 20th verse.
Right.
And the Jews were concerned about this, and I think Jesus was referring to that destruction in 70 AD.
I've heard that a lot. In fact,
yeah.
If you talk to full-blown preterists, of course, we know preterists. Full-blown preterists basically say that everything's already been fulfilled. There's nothing yet to be fulfilled. Okay. I respectfully disagree with that. Okay, I don't believe that all the prophecy has been fulfilled, but I do think there is there's a merit to your interpretation. However, I'm not sure the abomination of desolation can be limited to just that interpretation. Let me explain to you why I say that. When it says here in verse, when it talks about the Sabbath, pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. Then the next verse, for then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world, but this time nor ever shall be. That kind of opens the field up a little bit, because I don't believe that 70 AD, is representative of that.
I absolutely agree with that. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is by extension. We can take it on through till the end of the age. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do believe that a lot of what Christ is talking about here is referring to Titus in 70 AD and the destruction of the temple. I do believe that.
Yeah,
Christ referred to this at other times. He said, there'll be not one stone left on another. And Brother Edward Henry pointed out in our last Monday night broadcast, you know, that wailing wall is not a part of the temple. Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
But delineate Christ's prophecy about not one stone standing upon another, right? Now, I will say this, and I don't necessarily hold to this, but I think it stands for consideration. The abomination of desolation, there's a lot of people that believe that there's going to come a time when Rome, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, the reformers all called the Pope the Antichrist.
Yeah.
And people, you know, ask, well, where's the Antichrist going to come out of? I don't know the answer to that, but I do know, I believe that the Roman Catholic Church, along with the ecumenical movement, will combine and become, they already have pretty much become a world entity.
Yes, right.
And
yeah.
I think that there is going to come a time when this abomination of desolation spoken of Daniel the prophet, I think this could be initiating of animal sacrifices. I've heard this before. What more of an abomination of desolation than to shake your fist in the face of the completed atonement of Christ, right? So
right,
that's just,
yeah.
I'm not saying I'm right on this, but it's something to consider. Mark, do you have
go ahead. Well, I think when you read verse 21 at the end there, it says that the suffering will be so great and that nor ever shall be. So that does take it right to the end, because the end's going to be far worse than 70 AD.
Yeah, I
agree with that.
I've often thought about number 22, except those days should be shortened. We've talked about that a lot. That's a great point to me, because it shows Christ has his elect's interests at heart. The reason I know he has interests at heart is he's shortening the days. He's shortening the days.
That's wonderful.
Mark, do you have any further comments about this section? If not, we'll move on to 24 through 28.
I think that would be an attempt, a futile attempt at refuting the sacrifice, the once-for-all sacrifice of Christ, to reinstitute the system of animal sacrifices.
I think it's the most blasphemous thing. You know, he said, not by the blood of bulls and goats. He entered once into the holy place for us and sat down. Good point.
Can you, Mike, level down? Because whenever you talk, I can't hear anybody else.
What was that now?
Kevin, can you turn your mic level down? When you talk, I can't hear Larry or anybody else.
Oh boy. I would have no idea how to turn my mic level down. I really don't. But let's see, if I disturb again, I'll get off. How's that?
No, we don't want that. All you have to do, turn your mic level down, is on your computer, on the volume.
Volume also controls
mic level.
Okay. Now, there should be, I used to see some settings on the side where I could go and.
Did you just turn your volume down a little bit?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You sound fine to me, so maybe it's just because you're closer to Mark Kennedy geographically. I don't know. But it sounds fine here. Mark, can you read for us verses? Let's start with verse 24. Well, let's start with verse 23 and go through 28.
Okay, 23 to 28?
Yes.
Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it or not, believe it not. Verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that possible they deceive the very elect. Verse 25, behold, I have told you before. Verse 26, wherefore, if they shall say to you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber, believe it or not, believe it not. Verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Your thoughts, Mark?
The lightning flashes, you know, throughout the whole sky, and that's what it's going to be like when the Son of Man comes back. There's that scripture that says every eye will see him.
Right. Well, one of the things that, as you were reading that, one of the things that came to my mind is that I think we're as we get closer and closer to the return of Christ, and I can back that up with verse 24, it says they will show great signs and wonders, okay?
Yeah.
Great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. We know the very elect will not be deceived. We know it's impossible to deceive in finality the very elect. But I really believe, just based on a lot of research I have done and talking to a lot of people that are in the scientific community and a lot of people that have kind of are on the inside track, I think we're getting ready to see some huge, huge deceptions. And I think these deceptions are going to take place just like, you know, at one time when we went and saw Star Wars or we went and saw a movie, we knew that that was fiction. We knew that this was just, when we read a novel, we knew the difference between a fiction and nonfiction.
Yeah, that's good.
And now what is happening is that has been clouded such that people don't know when they're looking at something that's supposed to be real. That's why, you know, that's why this phrase of fake news has come up. Okay, it's not just fake news. It's fake gospel. Mm-hmm. It's fake reality. There's, you know.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah.
As Peter tells us that there will come a time they call good evil and evil good. You know, there's no black, no up and down. There's no absolutes. The only absolute in our society today is the fact that there aren't any absolutes. And so I believe that there's going to be a lot of lies perpetrated about alien activity and visitors from outer space and all of these lies. And we know that a lot of people are going to be deceived, okay?
Yeah,
and that's why it's so important that we, like Kevin was saying on his broadcast today, and I applaud him for bringing this up, we have to have a regulated principle, and that regulated principle has to be the Word of God. Once we go outside the Word of God, and people talk about special revelation and all of this stuff, look, we have the revelation. Okay, the revelation by God is revealed to us in His Word. And so that's how we come up with all the false doctrines. That's how we come up with Arminianism and free will and universal atonement and all the other lies that we have perpetrated. So I think it's gonna escalate.
Yeah.
But, that's a good backdrop right there.
Yeah. The fire truck. Yeah, that's right. Well, I'm thinking of the birds that get where the eagles are, the carcasses. And you remember in Revelation, the Lord speaks saying he invites the birds to go to a feast to drink the blood of everybody. And it's the picture of the end times is so horrendous that we would pray the Lord would take us out of it, you know. And like you said, he remembers us. He doesn't forget us in that time of great suffering. That's wonderful.
Right.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All of the deceptions are happening now, and it is going to get worse.
Yes.
Yeah. And the communication we have now is so much better. You know, we know everybody's business around the world. And so we can see the rumors of wars and the talk of discontent. Mm-hmm. There's another place where it's called the perplexity of nations. They're just, they're upset that they're at their wit's end. They don't know what to do. If they fix one thing, it's a problem somewhere else. And it's just, only the Lord can fix it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just imagine 100 years ago, Larry, just imagine 100 years ago, it would take them weeks to find out something that happened on the other side of the world. And now,
yeah, that's right.
And now we can find out about something that happened on the other side of the world within an hour.
Thank
you.
Yeah,
sure.
Actually, within
I mean, just imagine all of this within the last 100 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
There is the talks about knowledge being increased, and we're seeing that increased knowledge just multiply.
Yeah. Many running to and fro.
Starting with religion in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it says here, and like Kevin mentioned this in verse 28, wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And then what's so interesting, it says immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. No, that's one of the things I tell the full-blown preterists is that, you know, they say, well, the sun was red, it looked like blood, and all that. And I ask them, well, did stars fall from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
78, did stars fall from heaven? That kind of slows them down a bit. And I said, the powers of heaven shaken. I mean, there may have been a lot of turmoil, and there may have been a lot of bad weather in 70 AD. I'm not sure about all of that, but I do know this. I don't believe any stars fell from heaven, okay, back in 70 AD. They say, I've even had one full-blown preterist tell me that he says it doesn't say that the Son of God is going to appear in heaven. It says in verse 30, he says, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Well, wait a minute. If you go on down, you'll find out that this sign of the Son of Man is literally Jesus Christ coming back. Okay? And we can see that he demonstrates that in verse 44, because he's, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. It's not just a sign. He's coming, okay? He's coming.
Yeah. Right.
And so, anyway, I would be interested in both of your all's thoughts about this. It says here, I had this pointed out to me a number of years ago. I'd read this scripture. You know how it is, sometimes you'll read a scripture and you'll gloss over it, and then somebody will point something out and you've never seen it before. I had just a few years ago, in verse 31, it says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. And that's usually where I would stop, right there. I'd say, you know, the Bible says that he's going to send his angels with a trumpet. He's going to gather his elect, you know. And they go, well, where's he going to gather his elect from? Well, here it says he's going to gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other.
Yeah.
Now, that's really interesting. I don't understand that.
Yeah, I don't either.
I've heard different exclamations of, you know, we know there are three different heavens. There's the heaven where God resides. There's the heaven where God resides. And then there's the clouds above where we reside. Okay.
Right.
It's just going to be very interesting. I don't want to spend a lot of time on the parables tonight. But what I wanted to do is I want to go on back, if we could, over to chapter 25, and I'd like for us to look at verses 31 through 34. Can you read those for us, Mark? It's chapter 25 of Matthew, verse 31 through 34.
Okay, Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. And verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Isn't that a beautiful passage? I mean,
sure is.
We receive that. We receive that with great joy and comfort to realize that this kingdom was prepared for us before we were even born. Okay.
Yes.
But it does also signifies that salvation is not for every man and woman without exception, but it is only for his sheep. And he also points out that they're going to be separated. You know, a lot of people say, well, we're all just one big happy family. No, we're not all one big happy family. God has his family, and then there's all the rest of the people on the earth. God has his people distinct from the goats. And I wanted to say, we look at this. Notice what he says in verse 41. He says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, that would be the goats, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, when we think about that event, that specific event that Jesus outlines here, when he's going to separate the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left, we see that, and I don't know how to measure that in terms of time, but we know shortly after that, if we go to Revelation, we are going to see a great triumphant family reunion in heaven at the great supper of the Lamb. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, not everyone is going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Okay? And one of the things that I've heard preachers get up, and they're not clear about this, and this is one thing I want to encourage people to listen to the lesson that Kevin did today on his broadcast, because he made it eminently clear, okay, that Jesus Christ's atonement was effective. It was perfectly carried out for the specific people for whom Christ died for. He said that he would come to save his people from their sins. He did not come to save everyone from their sins. If he had come to save everyone from their sins, there would be no sin left, okay? Because he would have atoned for
it. And there'd be nothing to judge at the great white throne judgment.
That's exactly right. And the point that Kevin made on his broadcast is that you have people really confused because of this false teaching, because people will get up and sing, when we all get to heaven, what a wonderful time that will be. Well, we're not all going to get to heaven. Okay?
Right.
The only ones that are going to get to heaven, how many times have you heard when someone died, someone said, well, he's in a better place now? Well,
that's right.
If he's God's sheep, he's in a better place now. But if he wasn't one of God's sheep, he's not in a better place now. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
So we need to be truth tellers. We need to let people know, don't just automatically assume that everybody is going to go to heaven, because they're not. Don't automatically assume that Jesus, you know, I remember I was really shocked, you know, whenever I would hear Billy Graham get up and say, in front of 50,000 people in the stadium, You know, I want everybody here tonight to know that Jesus loves you and died for you.
Yeah, that's terrible.
How did Billy Graham know all those 50,000 people were God's sheep? They weren't.
No, that's right. Yeah.
That's a very presumptuous statement at best.
Yeah.
It's loaded with that that statement is loaded with presumption.
If somebody believes that Christ died for their sins, then they're comforted. They feel that they're okay, that God has removed the enmity between them. And that's what they're being told in the churches. Right.
And they're so gullible to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to know for ourselves by searching our own situation out with God.
Amen.
That's exactly what Scripture says, Mark. Mm-hmm. It says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God.
Right. That's what happens when we make our calling and election sure, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the times that we're living in are exciting times, you know. We can look around and we can see there's not a day that goes by when I don't say, Lord Jesus, please come quickly. Okay. In other words, but the fact is that we're living in those days. Now what I'd like to do is we got about 6 minutes left, and I would like for Mark, if he would, go back to Revelation 21. And I'd like to read verses 1 through 6 in chapter 21 of Revelation. And then I'm going to pause and let Kevin and Mark comment on this passage. It gives me great comfort every time. It gives me great comfort every time it's read.
Revelation's chapter 1, Revelation of St. John the Divine, chapter 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. Verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Verse 5, and he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write. For these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.
Well, Kevin, what do you think?
Well, some say that this earth will be destroyed totally and that there'll be a whole new earth. Some say that everything will be reconstituted in this present earth, meaning everything will be destroyed. The elements will melt with fervent heat. And then that earth will be reconstructed to accommodate Christ and his people throughout eternity. I don't know if it's going to be another earth, this one being destroyed. But it really doesn't matter. It'll be a place of no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more tears, no more sin, you know,
right.
Ever. Yeah. It's just right. Beautiful. It's all a great privilege that we've been given. We did nothing to earn it. It was just freely given to us. It's just wonderful.
Really is. And you know,
one
thing I do know, and like you said, that's one of the greatest things to even contemplate or think about is the fact that there will be no more curse. There will be no sin. There will be nothing, nothing there that would pain us. And a lot of us have to deal with a certain amount of physical pain, too. And that's all going to be done away with. And when we look at the end times, when we look at the events around us, there's a scripture that says, when you begin, and I'm paraphrasing, but when you begin to see all of these things happen, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And that's what we're really doing tonight. We're looking up, we're saying, Lord Jesus, we know that everything is going to come into fruition in His perfect timing. Okay? And I'm looking forward to that day with great anticipation. And as society becomes more and more debauched, you know, and as Satan, the prince of the power of the air, worketh in the children of disobedience, we can be assured, that God is faithful to His people. And that's really the message tonight. I want to thank Kevin and Mark for being a part of this celebration. That's really what it is, a celebration of the coming of Christ. Some people really don't even want to talk about these things because they're fearful. Well, I would say this to you if you're fearful of the coming things that are coming on the earth. There's a passage in Revelation that says that those wicked people who blaspheme the name of Lord, the Lord and so on, they're going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. And here's my exhortation and my admonition to you. You need to ask yourself the question, why am I afraid? You know, what happened to Adam, right after he sinned? He thought he was going to hide from God, didn't he? God knew where he was all the time. God knows everything about us. He knows everything, every thought, everything that transpires. And you know what? The great thing about God is that He is a gracious God. He's a forgiving God. And His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says. Great is His faithfulness. My own experience was when I began to be fearful and I knew that I was living in wickedness and sin, the Holy Spirit convicted me, of my sin, and He showed me my need of a Savior. And when that happened, He also showed me the remedy. And the remedy wasn't anything in Larry Phillips. Remedy completed substitutionary work of Jesus Christ for Larry Phillips. He took my sins upon Himself. And so that's what we're talking about tonight. Once we understand that what Jesus Christ did for us each individually, as Mark pointed out a while ago, once we understand what Christ did for us, then we have great liberty because we are made free by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and His promise. Now, I'm going to conclude that. At 7 o'clock, I want to thank you guys for coming on. I want to thank all the guests that joined us tonight. And may the good Lord be with you this week. By way of announcement, we do have a special guest tomorrow night. Edward Henry is going to be coming on. And I shared this. I don't know if you all got it, if you got it, Mark and Kevin, but it's quite a blessing to me. I know Mark got it because of your comment. But it's quite a blessing to me. Ed was reading in the Bible, and when Christ was resurrected, he said to Mary, go and tell my brethren. And that had such an impact on Ed. He says, can you imagine Jesus Christ telling Mary to go tell his brethren? He said, we are his brethren.
Yes, that's right.
That is
once we realize whose we are, our relationship to Christ, he's our brother.
Right.
Not only our King of Kings, he's our Lord of Lords, but he is our brother. So our Abba Father, okay?
Yeah.
So, but that's what he's going to talk about.
And he said to the disciples, he said, you are all brethren. In other words, we're not to lord over one another, but just consider ourselves to be unprofitable servants, because we of ourselves and of our own nature would do nothing to please God, except that he work in us. He works in us both to do and to will of his good pleasure. And for that, we are profitable, only because of his work in us. Yeah,
that's right.
Well stated. Very well stated.
It keeps us humble. Keeps us humble. Yeah.
We realize apart from Christ, we're nothing. You know.
Amen. Amen.
Listen, guys. The good Lord be with you. I love both of you, and I hope you have a blessed week. And for all of our friends on Facebook, may the Lord be with you as well. And I'm going to have now to end this call and say good night, brothers. So good night and God bless.
Yeah, good night and God bless you, Larry. And thanks for all you're doing on these platforms.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your podcast on Facebook, because it's having a lot of people will tune in after the program. They'll listen to this live. So it is blessing a people. And Mark, thank you for all of your help, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're welcome, brother. It's my pleasure as your co-laborer in the vineyard field of the Lord.
Okay.
To be your co-laborer. All right. God bless, Larry. Okay. God bless, Kevin. Good night.
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, Larry.
Good night.
Larry?
I'm still trying to get it to stop. Just one second, please.
Oh, sure.